From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, Democrats were able to maintain their slim majority in the Michigan Senate after picking up a special election victory this week. The race is viewed as key bellwether for the November midterms.
All politics are national, and there's no way that we really can avoid it.
We'll break down the results and what they mean for you. And this week's brain teaser is a riddle all about life in the office. And we're not talking about the TV show. You'll just have to wait and see what I mean right after these headlines. The Michigan Attorney General is charging a Metro Detroit businesswoman with misusing over $1 million in state funds. Faye Baydoun received the money through a state grant for a nonprofit meant to attract international businesses to Michigan. State Attorney General Dana Nessel accuses Baydoun of instead spending that money on personal bills, luxury items, and hosting political events. Nessel says the investigation remains open, even though it could be tough to charge anyone else responsible for getting Baydoun that money.
Well, it's clear to us that Faye Baydoun used her political connections to get this grant. We don't have evidence that people knew that she planned to misappropriate the money or to spend the money illegally.
Baydoun's lawyers maintain her innocence. They call the charges illogical and are dismissing the accusations as public spectacle. The Michigan Supreme Court heard arguments Wednesday on whether legislative leaders have any discretion in deciding whether bills adopted by the House and Senate must go to the governor's desk. Rick Pluta has more.
After a changeover in power last year, the House's new GOP leaders decided to sit on 9 bills adopted by both chambers but had still not been processed and sent to Governor Gretchen Whitmer to sign her veto. The Senate, still controlled by Democrats, sued, arguing that the Michigan Constitution says all bills adopted by both chambers of the legislature must be forwarded to the governor. Democratic Senator Sue Schenck says the stakes are high.
Democracy depends on elected officials doing their job and following the law, and in this case, it didn't happen. The House Speaker chose not to follow the law.
House Republicans say courts should stay out of the inner workings of the legislative branch. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
The historic ice storm that swept through northern Michigan last year damaged roughly 3 million acres. Officials across the region say hundreds of miles of debris still haven't been cleaned and could lead to an elevated risk for wildfires this spring. The potential risk has led to some already making plans. Patrick King lives in Gaylord. He says his home is surrounded by trees.
If we can drive out, that would be good. On the other hand, we are also on a small lake. So if we have, say, a wind direction from the northwest, bringing the fire that from that direction towards our house, we can jump in our canoe.
The Michigan DNR said it responded to 31 wildfires across the state on Monday, ranging from small brush fires to one that was 124 acres near Mayo in the Huron-Manistee National Forest. The National Park Service says 85% of wildfires are started by humans. Flights are resuming at a small regional airport in northern Michigan after its runways were shut down for nearly a month because of mass flooding. WCMU's Emma George Griffin has more.
The Pellston Airport has daily flights that connect travelers to Detroit and Chicago. The airport's director, Jeff Mallory, says the closure puts stress on those travelers. Pumps were diverting water for weeks, and Mallory says this was the longest shutdown the airport has experienced in decades.
I know it was painful, you know, and a lot of people had to make a lot of different arrangements to get through this. We had a heck of a winter, and now we had a heck of a spring, but, you know, the grass is green, and we're going to start flying airplanes again.
The main runway is fully operational, but Mallory says the secondary crosswind runway will remain closed for a few days until water is fully diverted from the pavement. Mallory says the prolonged closure was a big financial loss, but he won't know the full impact for about a year. He says the airport is still feeling the financial effects from last year's ice storm. I'm Emma George Griffin, WCMU News.
Families with young children would get a new federal tax credit if a mid-Michigan congresswoman has her way. Democratic Representative Krista McDonald-Rivett is proposing a $5,500 tax credit per child for families earning less than $100,000 a year. The Working Parents Tax Relief Act is getting support from various business and child welfare groups. And now it's time for this week's brain teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. And today's teaser is a poetic riddle. With pointed fangs I sit and wait, with piercing force I crunch out fate, grabbing victims, proclaiming might, physically joining with a single bite. What am I? You think you can figure this one out? Here we go again. With pointed fangs I sit and wait, with piercing force I crunch out fate, grabbing victims, proclaiming might, physically joining with a single bite. What am I? You think you can figure this one out? Don't worry. If you can't nail down the answer just yet, we'll reveal it right after this. The results are in for the highly anticipated state Senate special election in the Saginaw Bay region. Tuesday's race garnered national attention as the balance of power in the Senate was up for grabs. The race is also viewed as a key bellwether for the upcoming November midterms and temperature check on Michigan voters for what is going to be a big election year in state politics. WCMU's David Nicholas spoke with News Director Rick Brewer, who started the conversation by breaking down the results.
A lot of Republicans in the 35th district were hoping that it would go red, but it actually went green, as in the voters elected Saginaw City Fire Captain Shedrick Green. He got roughly 60% of the vote, while Republican Jason Tunney got just under 40% of the vote, which kind of came as a surprise for anyone who has been following this district and this race as long as we have. It was largely considered a toss-up. A bellwether is a district where the electorate went with Trump in 2024, but also voted for Democrats like Alyssa Slotkin and Kristen McDonnell-Rivett. So a 19-point margin for Green is pretty sizable when you compare it to Kristen McDonnell-Rivett, who got only plus six in 2022, the last time this district had a general race. The other storyline here is not just that, but it's also the fact that Senate Democrats now maintain their majority in the state Senate. They now have 20 to 18, avoiding possible vetoing and a tied state Senate in the last months of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's term in office.
With all those numbers in and the significance of those, what kind of conclusion do we have? What does it say about this political moment?
I think it says a lot, David, but the thing that stood out to me covering this race for 16 months is that all politics are national and there's no way that we really can avoid it. When it comes to Jason Tunney's campaign, he really wanted to lean into local issues, you know, reforming property taxes. How can we reform the state income tax? He didn't necessarily affiliate himself with Trump, as we see a lot of other GOP candidates do across Michigan. At one point when Green, who really emphasized, you know, quote, MAGA extremism, invoking Trump, the affordability crisis, in his words that he's saying, a lot of these national issues, Tunney would sometimes counter and say, well, are those important Lansing issues and, you know, things of that nature. And then I think also, David, it says about this political moment is that the war in Iran and gas prices definitely did not help Jason Tunney, as a lot of people were going to the pump in the days leading up to the race with $5 gas prices.
After all this with votes counted, what was the response from both Tunney and the Republicans?
Well, Tunney did, of course, call Green to concede in the race. And when he spoke to voters, it wasn't necessarily a concession speech. He really emphasized the fact that this is just the halfway point in his campaign, because Green will now just finish out Kristen McDonnell-Rivett's term because she resigned from her seat in 2025. So that simply means he's only going to serve out the rest of the year. He has to then win again in November, and Tunney and Green are likely to face off again.
What, in the end, in additional kind of detail, do we know about what role Shedrick Green will have? What does his victory mean for Lansing?
Yeah, as I mentioned a minute ago, the Democrats now have that 20 to 18 majority. The House of Representatives is controlled by the GOP, and of course, Governor Whitmer is a Democrat. So right now, the big issue in Lansing is the state budget negotiations. They have a July 1 deadline. They blew through that last year, which created a lot of uncertainty. There are some budget shortfalls this year due to many cuts coming from the federal level. So they're short about $750 million. On the campaign trail, Green and Tunney were at odds with each other when it came to, are we going to dip into the state's rainy day fund to make up that budget gap? Green said he was in favor, Tunney was against. So the Senate will now have somebody who is, again, in favor of reaching into that rainy day fund, which could become a contentious issue. And we'll see if lawmakers are able to meet that statutory July 1 deadline.
Votes counted, results in, and someone serving for a very short time before doing it all again. Rick Brewer, thanks for your reporting on this.
Thank you, David.
That was Rick Brewer, WCMU's news director, discussing the results of Tuesday's state Senate special election in the Saginaw Bay region. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. The poetic riddle reads, "With pointed fangs I sit and wait. With piercing force I crunch out fate. Grabbing victims, proclaiming might. Physically joining with a single bite. What am I?" And the answer to this riveting riddle is a stapler. That's right, one that would make Milton proud in Office Space. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, radio.wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Enjoy your Mother's Day weekend.